I know today God's got a message. I'm excited because I feel him stirring some things. How many of you need a breakthrough in your life? No shame. How many of you need, I'm raising my hand, because how many of you need a breakthrough in your life? I believe God is here to not only show us that he can, but that he will break through where we're at in our life. We're personally going through a personal issue in our life with the job situation at Ed's job, and we've been praying about, and so we've been having discussions at our table. Do you have a family table where you have your discussions with God? And sometimes there's tears, and sometimes there's frustration, and that's okay, because he knows where you're at. But Ed's so tired of me saying this, it's more about the process than the end result. He's like, oh, that word. He is more concerned with the process than he is the end result. I don't want to go around the same circle again and again. There's a reason it took the children of Israel 40 years to go somewhere that should have took them 14 days. I don't want to take 40 years to get to where he has me to go. Breakthrough. What is breakthrough? Have you ever heard that word, breakthrough? I've heard it in a religious connotation. Oh, I just need a breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. But really, breakthrough is a sudden burst of God's favor, of his, a blast of his goodness and victory. That sounds better to me than what I've heard breakthrough be. It's a breakthrough, a situation. Now, you ever heard of ice-breaking boats? So an ice-breaking boat will actually break things ahead of the rest of the boats so that they can go through. Micah 2:13 says, "The one who breaks the way open will go before us." He's a God that breaks the way open. It says he prepares the way for us. So he is the breakthrough. We don't just need a breakthrough. He is the breakthrough. I'm going to go over here so people can hear this a little more and get a reaction. He is the breakthrough. Do you get that? We don't just need it. He is the breakthrough. Does he live inside of you? Then he is the breakthrough. Do you get that? So who's living inside of you is the breaker. You can't be stopped because he is inside of you. That breakthrough anointing and power resides in you. I've heard it said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He is that breaker, so you have breakthrough. I'm getting somewhere. One of my favorite ways to preach, although there's topical sermons, a topical sermon talks about a subject. So a topical sermon would pull in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That is a topical sermon. You pull verses to substantiate your topic. An exegetical sermon will take a passage of scripture and will excavate or exegete out of that scripture the truth inside of that. So we're about to go from a topic to an exegetical. So you're getting both today. Double dose, okay? So an exegetical sermon that we're going to look at, it talks about who God is. Now, do you know that we're in a war? I'm talking about a spiritual war. See, sometimes we think our enemy is the other person, when a lot of times our enemy is ourself, but a lot of times our enemy is what we call the devil or the force of evil. There's something that we're fighting. So we say, for though we walk in the flesh, so though we walk in who we are now, our normal things, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. So all Paul is telling us is, know that you have what it takes to fight the war. It's a spiritual war, okay? So as we go into this, I want you to understand that he is the breakthrough anointer. David was in a position to where there was a war going on, and it says, "And David came to Baal-perazim, And David defeated them there, and he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood." So he named the place Baal-perazim, Master of Breakthroughs. So God is the master of breakthroughs, and he's going to break through anything that you're fighting right now. Let me tell you, breakthrough could be depression that you need a breakthrough through. It can be fear. It can be fear of failure. It can be self-esteem. There's so many areas of our life that we need breakthrough, God's breakthrough power in, but he is the one who is the master of breakthroughs. Okay, so who needs a breakthrough in this place? Amen. God, we need you. We need a breakthrough in areas of our life to a new level in our life. A new understanding, a new revelation, a new adoption, a new glimpse of who we are and who you are in us. Give it to us in Jesus' name. We thank you because it's already inside of us. It just has to be activated in Jesus' name. Amen. So the breakthrough is here. So I want to talk about a man who needed a breakthrough. In John chapter 5, there was a man who was at the pool of Bethesda. Have you heard this story before? It's a great story. This man needed a breakthrough in his life. You see, for 38 years, he could not move. He was paralyzed. I don't know how old he was when he became paralyzed. It could have been, he could have been 38 years, and it could have been when he was a baby. It could have been when he was younger and got some kind of a disease where he was paralyzed or older. We don't know that. And so you can kind of see he could have possibly his whole life been some way, or he could have walked normally and all of a sudden became this way through an accident. We don't know what happened. And I believe God gives us sometimes a halfway of a story so that we can kind of use it to fit different situations in our life. Some of you may have, as a child, been very much on fire for God, and then something may have happened to where all of a sudden you became paralyzed in him. I don't know where you're at or what you're fighting or what you're needing, but God does. So this man is along the side of the pool of Bethesda. Now I want to tell you something. The number 5 means grace. You know, there's different numbers. 6 is the number of man, 5 is the number of grace, 7 is the number of completion. 5 means grace. I love that this is in John chapter 5, because it's all about grace more than it is about healing. So sometime later, when it says later, if we're going to exegete properly, we want to do what? We want to check John chapter 4. Because Jesus has already been somewhere. I want to find out where was he to where now it's saying later. You following me? John chapter 4. Who knows John chapter 4? One of my favorite scriptures. There's a woman at the well. And it says Jesus was needed to go through Samaria. He really didn't. That was not a shortcut. The Holy Spirit sent him to Samaria for a reason to go talk to a woman. So here's the woman at the well. And this woman went at midday. Midday in Samaria would be a hot time of the day. It is not a great time to go and fetch pails of water. And so here she is because she was the outcast of the city. No one wanted to be near her. No one wanted to talk to her because she was an adulterer. She was in different relationships. She was living with a man. So she's at this well. And who comes for the water but Jesus? John chapter 4. So he comes to her and he says, "Give me some water." She's like, "But, I mean, I'm Samaritan. You're a Jew. Give me some water. But I don't have a pot." "You don't have a pot. Give me some water." "But I can't do that." He goes, "No, the water that you're talking about is natural water, but I'm the water of the Spirit of life. And it says, if you drink of me, you shall never thirst again." So that happened in John chapter 4. So Jesus has had that encounter already. He's coming there, and now he's going to another encounter. What I'm trying to let you know is he goes to who needs him at that moment. And it's always the one who are the most outcasted. You see, they know they can't do it on their own. Do you know you can't do it on your own? If you know that, you are a prime candidate for breakthrough. So sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. We don't know what festival it was, but we know that he was going to a festival. They had different festivals, and Jesus was a good Jew. So if he was going to follow Judaism, he was going to go to the festivals in Jerusalem and celebrate those festivals. The next verse says, now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate. It was a pool there where people would go and they would bathe, but it was also an area where they were separated. So they had these colonnades. Now, I'm not saying about the restaurant here, the colonnades. They had these colonnades where these columns with like roofs over them, little colonnades, like little porches, and they had those where people could go to this area. And it says, now there in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda. If you go into the word for the meaning of Bethesda, it means pool of mercy. So here Jesus is coming through the Sheep Gate. It's where all of the sheep went through. So here the Lamb of God is coming to this man through a sheep gate next to the pool of mercy. What a picture of Jesus. The Lamb of God walks through that gate and stands next to the pool of mercy with the man who is an invalid and cannot move. It says, so there was in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five, surrounded by mercy. So the Lamb of God walks through the gate, the Sheep Gate, next to the pool of mercy, surrounded by grace. It's a picture of who he is and what he does and all about what is needed. More than just healing. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed, the addict, the one who were fearful, those suffering depression, whatever it is, they're lying all next to that pool of mercy. And here he walks in. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after stirring the water was made well of whatever disease he had. This is where you separate Old versus New Testament. You see, the Old Testament was religion. You had to do certain things. You had to be a certain way. You had to be number one, the fastest to get into that water. It wasn't for everyone. You had to do certain things. But here Jesus is about to change that scenario. Because you see, this is not that angel of the Lord coming down every now and then. Here comes the Lamb of God coming next to the pool of mercy surrounded by grace. And he's saying, whoever wants this, I'm here for this. So the angel went down, so that would take place, and whatever disease that they would have, they would be made whole. Now a certain man was there who was an invalid and had an infirmity for 38 years. So this man for 38 years is in that place. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, say long time, he asked him, what? Do you want to get well? Now, if you were asked that question and you were sick, your response should be, oh, yes. But that's not his response. See, the next verse shows us when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition, he says, do you want to get well? And he said, sir, the invalid replies, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. What did Jesus ask him? This is Jesus saying, do you want to get well? I have no one to help me. Do you get what I'm saying? And Jesus is like, hello? Do you want to get well? I have no one to help me. And this is what he says. He says, into the pool of water. While I am trying to get in, someone else always goes ahead of me. So he begins to not only forget about what Jesus is asking him, he goes into the things he's probably said for all of his life, for 38 years. no one ever helps me. I can never get into the water to get whole. I'm always the last one. They are so much better than me. They can do those things. I can never get in there. I will never be healed. Oh yeah, they can do it, but I can't. And Jesus is saying, hello, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, do you want to get well? So I'm asking you about your infirmity. Do you want to get well? Not feel better, because they're different things. Some of us come to church to feel better, but we don't come to church to be healed. I'll say that again, because it's... Some of us come to church to feel better, but not to be healed, because healed often means we have to give up some things. To become healed and whole often means that I have to stop certain things in my life. And so feeling better is a lot easier because I can keep my own identity of, yes, I'm an invalid. Yes, poor me, I'm a victim. Yes, I have these things and nobody ever helps me. But I come to church and I feel a little bit better. But God is saying, no, do you want to get well? Do you want to stop living in that state of being paralyzed for 38 years, and do you want to be whole? This has been a discussion we've been having this week, because Ed has, in his past, was rejected from certain interviews. And so he has a fear of this certain interview, I'm not getting these jobs, and he doesn't want to do it. So the whole process of going through this interview for him has been a very painful process. And he's like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I said, I know you don't. If you've been rejected and certain things have happened in your life, there's poison under that wound. And the only way, if it hasn't been healed properly, is to remove that scab again and then take the poison out and let it be healed. And sometimes that process is not a pleasant process, but it's a needful process. Remember where Jesus just came from. Remember the story? Give me a drink. But you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Give me a drink. But you don't have a bucket. Excuse after excuse after excuse. And God is saying, do you want a breakthrough? Do you want it? Yes, but everyone else gets it. Do you really want that breakthrough? Because let me tell you, the breakthrough is not just God coming down and changing your situation. That's not a breakthrough. Oh, I'm going to say that again. It's not just God coming down and changing your situation. It's Him coming down and changing your heart. That's a breakthrough. He comes down and He changes your being and who you are, and all of your goals begin to change because your breakthrough is now coming, not your situation. And I'll tell you something. Some of you in situations now when you want to be delivered by, and God is saying, I'm in that situation. I know people will come and say, and I love this. Even in Bible college, I had this whole idea. You know, oh, I want to go to the mission field. God, I want to help the homeless. I want to do all these wonderful things. And all of a sudden, help me love the unlovely. You know that? Help me love the unlovely. And all of a sudden, somebody at work is unlovely to you and just, rah, 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 rah. Oh, God, help me love the unholy. I want to go and help. And I can't believe they're doing this to me. Hello? I mean, it's easy to say those things in a religious term, and it sounds so wonderful, but when the rubber meets the road, man, it's hard to live that out. But that's where God brings breakthrough. We were talking about that this morning, your whole situation with the cruise. Both of you shared separately this morning. If you don't know, they had a cruise planned, and all of a sudden, Charles lost his wallet the day before with no ID, couldn't go on the cruise. And he's like, Kathleen didn't get mad. I'm like, what? She didn't recognize her either. But there's been a process going on in her life. So you see, things that might have been this problem in the past, or this issue in the past, God's been working her. She goes, God's know what He's doing. And she said, we had the best time because they spent the whole time alone together on the beach, just the two of them. But that's working in your life. That's breakthrough. It's not this spiritual thing that you pray in church and get slain in the spirit and all of a sudden this breakthrough. No, breakthrough is a lifestyle. Breakthrough is a change in who you are. Breakthrough is becoming more like Christ. Breakthrough is leaving the things behind and walking forward and letting Him use you in a new way. That's breakthrough. That's the anointing that breaks every yoke. And God is the breaker. But He does it sometimes through the furnace. It's hot in there. Do you know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You know that story in Daniel? Do you know that it says the breakthrough came while they were in the fire? Not before they got there. I want it before I get through the fire, right? God, give me the breakthrough before the fire gets turned on. They were in the fire and the breakthrough came. See, that fire's where everything is burned up that's not of Him. That fire's where you were faced with Him and they looked at their face and they saw what? They saw glory. And not only were they in the fire, but someone else was in the fire with them. The breaker was in that fire with them. That's who was in that fire. That's breakthrough. You're not going through it alone. You're going with Him step by step. He is the breaker. He is the one who will give you breakthrough. It's all painful. But once you get to the other side, you're like, wow. It's kind of like when you're done, you're like, did I just go through that? Wow. And I feel okay. And not only okay, I feel better. It's going to happen again. Because why? He's more concerned about the process than the end result. That's the truth. We've had this discussion this whole week, so. But He is the one in the middle of the process with you. Every time. And so many times we pray, oh God, deliver us. You know, I've had also people, this is funny, because I've had people say, you know, I really feel called to missions. I really feel called to the lost or evangelist. You know, you're an evangelist. You love to tell people about God. I feel called to tell people about God. And then they get this new job and they're the only Christian. They're like, oh, please, God, deliver me from all these non-Christians. I'm like, hello, you're the one who's been praying for this. You see, it's not religion, it's a relationship. And if we understand that and that He is ordering our steps and planning our steps, then it's not a doing, it's a being. I'm not a human doing, I'm a human being that created in His image, the Word says. And He has a plan for my life to bring me a future and a hope. And let me tell you, His hope may not be what I think it's going to be, but it's going to be good. He has a future and a hope for you. Jesus says, you don't need a bucket when I am the well. You don't need to have this way thing made of hands the way you think it needs to be. He's the well. You don't need to come to church and act a certain way that you have been told you need to act because He's the well. That living water. And what did He tell her? One drink, not a bunch. One drink and you will never thirst again. That's the breakthrough anointing. John 5:7, Jesus walks up to the man and the man tells Jesus how he can't get to the water. But Jesus says, you don't get it. I can't get to the water. They won't let me. I'm always so slow. And Jesus says, you don't get it. You are trying to get to the water, but the water has come to you. The water has come to you. Some of you are striving so much to get to the water. He says, I have already come to you. Just let me in. It may mean leaving some things behind, or it may mean adding things as well. I don't know what it means, but He's here for you. Breakthrough begins where our excuses end. So whatever is going on in your life, you don't just need someone to pray for you. You don't just need Pastor Deb to sing a certain song and that anointing come over and everything is better. That's feeling better. What you need to say is, God, I'm done with the excuses. Please work in my heart. Open it up and get to the core so that all of those things that I have inside of me that are holding me back will now begin to break away. We can break every chain that he has in our life. I don't know where you're at physically, spiritually, emotionally, but I know what? I know where he's at physically, spiritually, emotionally. You know what the word says? He says that he has created you in his image. He says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He said he knows every hair on top of your head. He says he knows your name and knew your name when you were created in the womb. You see, he knows all of these things about you, and you don't have to change any of it because he's just coming to you. Let him change you. We get in trouble when we try to change ourselves. The more you hear about his grace, the more you hear about his mercy, the more that you begin to understand it, the less you have to try to do to change. You just need to surrender to him. Amen. Would you stand up for a second? Father, I thank you that you are the breakthrough anointer. You are the one that goes and begins to break through that ice and those things that don't allow us to go forward. And you prepare that way for us. What I ask today, God, is that you lead us to that water. That you show us things in our area. I don't want to feel better. I say, oh, it made me feel so much better. I want to change. I need a change in my life. I need a change deep down. Because that's the true breakthrough. Amen. We're going to worship. If you need prayer, I'm going to open the altars for prayer. But let God flow to you and break that anointing.